This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:13. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And as we established earlier, and as we all know, today is the first day of MCO 2.0 for five states, as well as the federal territories. And a conditional MCO has, of course, also been imposed in three other states. As of now, the plan is, or rather this phase of the MCO will end on January 26th. But of course, based on experience, we know that it could also be extended. Now, one of the biggest concerns, I think, for most Malaysians is focused on the financial, for those who own businesses, work in the gig economy, daily wage earners, especially people in the B40 groups. And in general, I think, immediately after yesterday's announcement of the SOPs and who could work and who couldn't, or rather who could go out to work and who would have to stay at home, one of the biggest questions running on social media and even being sent to us on WhatsApp was really whether there was going to be aid extended to people as well as a return of the loan moratoriums.
So on that note, there was an article today in the Malaysian Insight where the National Union of the Bank Employees General Secretary, Jay Solomon, he said that the MCO, as well as the Declaration of Emergency, which was announced yesterday, should be accompanied by cash aid from the government. And as you said, Lynn, this is something that people have been asking about. Definitely the B40 group, but also people have had pay cuts. People have had to stay at home and not get paid for that time. So I think it is a question about what's going to happen this year.
That's right, because following on from the previous MCO and CMCOs, the government did allocate 7 billion ringgit in cash aid under Bantuan Prihatin Nasional, and that was dispersed to B40 and M40 citizens in October. Another round is expected later this month. And the bank loan moratorium was in effect for 6 months, beginning from April until September, after which people were allowed to apply for banking financial aid. And a lot of these questions actually go beyond the MCO, because even before we knew that it was going to be announced and instated once more, I think there were all these questions about, oh, okay, so we had some assistance. We had a break, for example, from repaying our loans, but now it's back. What are we supposed to do? Because nothing much has changed. And I think that nothing much has changed is now, it has changed and it's for the worse, because again, we are experiencing this dip in jobs, in employment, potentially in pay. Companies are having to relook at what's going on. And I think it's a very reasonable thing to say, okay, we had assistance the last time. What about now?
And certainly, you know, it isn't just a question of the MCO, as you said, Lynn. The pandemic hasn't magically resolved itself. 2020 wasn't the only year we've had these problems. And there's so many industries, if you look at aviation, if you look at tourism, if you look at the restaurant industry, who have continuously taken hits. And now, just I think as they thought, okay, we're in some sort of a recovery period, the MCO comes along and there's a lot of uncertainty about whether that recovery is going to happen at all. I think if one round there was cash extended, a lot of people do expect it. But I think in all fairness, one also needs to say that our economy is also struggling. So a question of whether that's going to happen is still up in the air.
So joining us now to talk about this is Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Head of Research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Dr. Nambiar, thank you for speaking with us. So let's start with this. Which groups are hardest hit with this latest MCO and how are they affected?
I think this time around, it's a softer MCO insofar as fewer states are covered by the MCO. Nonetheless, the states that are covered are the heavyweight states. These are the states that contribute quite a bit to GDP. The other redeeming factor is the fact that five sectors are seen as being essential. So you'll have factories going on, you'll have your manufacturing going on, construction, of course, services, agriculture, trade, and all the rest of it. So these are, of course, the redeeming features of the MCO. It's not as stringent as we had last year. Nonetheless, I think given the fact that you would have restrictions on travel, you have that there's no interstate travel, The worst hit will, of course, be the retail sector. There would generally be greater reluctance to go to shopping malls, and that would affect the tenants in shopping malls. So once again, the retail sector is likely to be hit. Restaurants, to some extent, of course, because you don't have dine-in, and that is going to be the kind of custom that they are going to get. But you still do have takeaways, and that, I suppose, is some consolation. On balance, of course, yes, restaurants too will be hit. And then, of course, the logistics sector to some extent, particularly bus services, because you're not going to have interstate travel. The hotel industry was perhaps picking up or starting to show signs of picking up. I think they're going to go for a longer lull period now. And of course, the worst hit, as usual, probably the casual workers and micro-enterprises. With fewer people going to office, etc., you're likely to find that the machi on your street corner who was selling nasi lemak, she's probably going to be badly hit once again.
Now, Dr. Nambiar, we've not yet seen anything by way of aid or assistance for Malaysians from the government. What do you think the government should do right now?
I think the government would, of course, be reeling under the pressure of having to think of come out with another scheme. My guess is they would. They probably could resort to some of the relief measures that could be drawn from Budget 2021. But I think they should, of course, extend whatever support can be extended to those at the bottom of the chain, those who are most vulnerable. And I, as I just mentioned, these will be those who are involved in micro enterprises, etc. And I think these groups, the most vulnerable, would be deserving of some kind of cash handout. And hopefully, I think the mistake that the government had made with the earlier MCO was to provide assistance to civil servants, etc. The spirit is commendable. But I think it's something that the government cannot sustain. It just won't do. And it probably would have to provide any such support, encouragement for civil servants at a later date. I think what the government has to do now is to take care of those who are most vulnerable, the most affected within the B40, if you had some kind of a gradation of whom you're going to reach out to, I think those who are most vulnerable, those who are most disadvantaged, are the groups that the government should look in the first instance.
So there are many who are calling for cash aid, particularly for the B40 groups. Is this a viable solution?
Certainly. I think that's the best way of addressing the needs of the disadvantaged. And I think even within the B40, if it were possible to come out some kind of ranking, some kind of structuration of the deservedness, I think that would be useful. But yes, certainly, cash, I think, is the best way of making sure that money goes into the pockets. And it's not just the question of these people being able to tide through the crisis, and I'd call it a crisis. It's just not a question of ensuring that they tide through the crisis. It's also a way of generating some kind of demand within the economy. You could think of food handouts, etc., but I think the kind of logistics, the kind of planning that would go into that would perhaps be more difficult. And I also think that we haven't reached a stage or the situation doesn't warrant that kind of an approach.
Now, there's a chance that the MCO will be extended. What will that do to people's livelihoods as well as the economy in general?
I think it's more than a slim chance. The numbers have been rising rather rapidly. The projections indicate 3,000 running up to 8,000 cases. That being the case, it seems very doubtful to me that the MCO would be lifted in 2 weeks. I would be happy if the MCO would be lifted in say, a month. So obviously, it's going to impact seriously on people's livelihoods and, of course, on the economy. I think some of the things that I had been speaking about just now address how we could do something to redress the dent that would be felt on people's livelihoods. As for the economy, I think it's almost certain that we'll have a great deal of difficulty reaching earlier targets. I mean, earlier the target, the growth target was something like 6.5%. Now, with if the and for a month, and I think that's very likely, and I think we should be prepared for something of that magnitude. I think it's going to be extremely difficult to touch 6.5. I would be happy if we could get something like 5.5 or thereabouts. So the good call is that it's not a terribly stiff MCO as it was last year.
Right. And there are different levels of MCOs placed around the country. Will this soften the blow to the economy in any way?
I think it would. You have, number one, the MCOs, the MCO this time around accepts the that there are a certain number of sectors which are essential. So you'll see construction, etc., going on. People are used to this idea. There's been, I think, some adaptation to the MCO that I think is helpful to some extent. And of course, it's not a blanket MCO that covers the entire country. As I said, yes, it would soften the blow to the economy. But as I said early on, some of the states that are affected by the MCO are those that contribute quite a lot to the economic activity in this country. Penang is affected, Selangor, Klang Valley is, Johor is, and that's where quite a bit of economic activity is going on. So it would not be as damaging as the first time round. Yes, but it would definitely impact on livelihoods and the economy.
Dr. Nambiar, just finally, what lessons do you think we learned from the last MCO?
This is a difficult question to answer. I wish we could say that we learned a great deal from the last MCO. But if I said that, it would also imply that we had learned enough to have avoided this the present MCO. So obviously, we didn't learn all that we could have learned with regard to controlling the spread of the disease. And I suspect that we went soft in our measures along the way. Initially, I think we had a great start. We were highly commended by various agencies for the manner in which we were dealing with the MCO, and it looks like along the way there was a little bit of slackening. We probably took things a bit too easy, and I suppose as a consequence of which we are acting now. We're acting now and we're acting the way we are. Perhaps along the way, we could have had a more targeted approach, meaning as soon as certain clusters were discovered, that could have you could have had an MCO which had a smaller, more defined, geographically specific kind of MCO. I wouldn't really stretch myself on this. I'm not a public health expert. It's just a point of view from a layman. But I think if we had devised a more targeted approach, it might have helped. It might have helped us, and we might not be in the state that we are in right now. Having said that, I hope the public health measures that are taken are effectively executed with the hope that we don't need to go into a one-month lockdown or even longer.
Dr. Nambiar, thank you so much for those insights. That was Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Head of Research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, talking to us about the government assistance required to help the hardest hit communities get through this new MCO. If you have thoughts, would you like to see the return of a loan moratorium? Is cash aid needed at this point? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.